The slave trade continues to inspire writers from all parts of the world. The last book I came across was written by Yema Lucilda Hunter, and it's called The Road to Freedom. Mrs. Hunter is a Sierra Leonean, and her novel tells the poignant story of one group of early settlers who were freed slaves living in Nova Scotia in present-day Canada, and their struggle to find real freedom, their perilous journey to Africa, to Sierra Leone, and the hazards they faced when they eventually got there and founded the capital Freetown. Mrs. Hunter was on a private visit to Holland recently, so I took the opportunity to get her to talk about her book. First, what prompted her to write the novel?
I came across a little story in another book I was reading, and it told me something about the history of Freetown which I didn't know before, which was that in 1794, during the Revolutionary Wars in France, Freetown was attacked and destroyed. And this bit of information really intrigued me and made me do some more research. And the more I did, the more interesting the story became, and I thought it would make interesting reading for people, citizens of Freetown. So I began to write it.
And how long did it take you to write the novel?
It took me about 2 years, because I had to do it in bits and pieces. You know, I didn't have time to sit down and write it. I wrote it mostly at night, when everybody was asleep, and over the weekend.
And what did you do with your time during the day?
Well, I had a full-time job. Also, I had young children, two young children, and a husband, and a home. So I didn't have all that much time to spend writing.
What do you work as?
I'm a medical librarian. I've been a medical librarian for the past 12 years.
So from that point of view, you had sort of access to information and reference material to make
Not really. I mean, not the sort of reference material I needed, you know. But I suppose because I knew other librarians, I had easier access to some of the things I needed.
The story is pretty factual, as you can hear from this extract. The heroine, Denny Dixon, gives an account of the trip one of their leaders, Thomas Peters, made, which starts off the whole adventure.
Thomas Peters described his arrival in England, how he travelled to London, where he met some Negroes already living in England. These people took him to the office of the Secretary of State, and he was allowed to present his petition. They then took him to a very grand house where he was introduced to the owner, one Henry Thornton, and another man, Sir Thomas Clarkson. The men told him that they had been fighting against the slave trade for several years, and that to further their cause they had started a commercial enterprise called the Sierra Leone Company to promote ordinary trading in West Africa. They had acquired land from an African king to which they had sent some of the Negroes living in England in 1787. Unfortunately, for various reasons, the attempt to found a colony had been a complete failure, and they were now concerned that if they could not find another group of settlers in the very near future, the whole enterprise would collapse, leaving the slave traders triumphant once more. Their proposal was therefore that we should leave Nova Scotia and travel to Africa, to this place they called Sierra Leone, and start another colony. There would be abundant land for everyone.
The book, The Road to Freedom, is a prescribed textbook for some secondary schools in Sierra Leone, and Mrs. Hunter obviously has her reason as to why it was prescribed.
I think it's the historical interest, mostly. You know, people obviously like to know something more about themselves, and also I think because the characters are Sierra Leonean, you know, it's and because I am Sierra Leonean and know Sierra Leoneans, I've tried to make the characters behave as I think Sierra Leoneans would behave in certain circumstances. And I think this possibility of identifying has helped to make the book successful in Sierra Leone.
Interwoven with this historical account of the founding of Freetown is the romantic story of Denny Dixon and her growth into womanhood and her falling in love. In the next extract, one elder of the group finally comes out with his feelings for this young Dini.
I know the fairer sex deems it unfitting to accept a proposal of marriage when first it is uttered. But you shall not find a better man than I for a girl of your quality in this place, not if you wait till Judgment Day. Most of these other fellows are scamps, illiterate ruffians. You need a man who can give you the decent and sober life your own mummy would have wished for you. Forgive me if I seem to boast, but I speak of a man like myself, Sister Dini, upright and godly. As my wife, you'll be able to improve yourself, to become with me a leader in the church and in the community. When can I expect an answer?
You'll just have to buy a copy of the book to find out whether Dini accepts that proposal. I wonder, though, how much support Mrs. Hunter received from her friends and family when she was writing the book.
Nobody really knew I was writing this book seriously, you know. But certainly nobody discouraged me. You know, I think of a passage in Buchi Emecheta's, one of her books, where she talks about how she wrote a whole novel and her husband came and tore it up or threw it into the fire or something. Well, I certainly didn't have any experience like that. I think probably my husband was a little impatient with me at times, but it never became an issue.
How does she assess the contribution the book has made to the literary scene in Sierra Leone?
Well, I like to think I have inspired some younger writers, because we had one or two older, sort of relatively established writers, established in the sense that they were known in West Africa. But then there was a lull when very little happened certainly in the line of fiction in Sierra Leone. So I hope that this will have encouraged other writers. There are lots of people, I don't think it applies just to African women, maybe Africans in general, there are lots of people who feel you have to have a very high level of education to be able to write, which is not true at all. You know, there are lots of people who probably have very good stories to tell, and all they would need is the help of a competent editor. But they don't realize it. They feel that there is no possibility of having their work published. It's true that it's difficult sometimes, but there's always the possibility, and this is where writers' clubs and such organizations have a role to play. And I believe that they are playing that role in West Africa, certainly. I don't know about East Africa.
Mrs. Hunter was in Amsterdam with her daughter Jessie and her son Mark. The book, The Road to Freedom, was one of Jessie's textbooks at school. So I asked Jessie to tell me about the reaction of her friends when they found out that her mother had written the book.
Well, they were surprised, and I suppose some of them thought she wrote them for me. Well, some of the girls in the other forms, and they all kept asking me if my mother wrote the book. They weren't sure. And some of them wanted her autograph in the book, things like that.
What did you think about your mother's achievement?
I didn't really think about it much, because she'd been writing this thing for a long time. The whole thing was very gradual. And then when they said she'd written the book and it was published, well, I guess I was happy that my mother actually had a book on the market and all that.
But you yourself have tried your hand at writing, haven't you?
Yes. I wrote three plays. The first one was a play in the year of the aged, and it was about a grandmother and how she got along with her grandchildren. And that was performed at a prize-giving ceremony. And then the second play was for the Aqua Sports Club. They were having a Christmas concert, and the play was supposed to be about Mind Your Language, which is a TV comedy series. And in the series, there are people from different countries coming to learn English. And because they don't know the language, the way they say and interpret different things is very amusing. And then the last one was in the year of counseling, and it was about counseling in a school, how a teacher helped two girls in the school.
Do you intend to take up writing as a profession?
No, well, my mother said that you can't take up writing as a profession. It would have to be a hobby until you write something that makes enough money for you to leave everything else and concentrate on writing itself. So I think you should have something to keep you going until you make money by writing.
What is your opinion about African literature generally? Because I understand you read quite a lot, don't you?
Well, I don't read so much African literature, but some of it is rather interesting because it's quite interesting to read. Usually when I read books, say mostly about European countries or set in America or something, but when you read an African story, you're actually reading what is happening all around you instead of reading something, you have to imagine it. So if you haven't been to those countries, you just follow the story and use your imagination. But if it's set in Africa, everything is more, it seems more interesting if the book is good.
Well, as a special treat for talking to me here on the AfroScene program, would you like to dedicate a record of your choice to all these your friends back in Sierra Leone?
Yes, I'd like to dedicate the record, let's see, What's Love Got to Do with It by Denise Williams, to all my friends all around the world.